Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you could turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. The people at my beach house, as they checked out, they had left the burner on. Who knows? It shorted out the stove. It melted the connector. It totally burned the top part around it where you can't even get it off and destroyed the whole thing. I have to show. So, but when I was there 2 weeks ago, I was sleeping. And when I go by myself, I sleep. I almost always do. I like the sunroom upstairs. And I woke up in the middle of the night with a real strong feeling that the enemy was going to try to bring a fire at my house. And it was so strong that I got up and I prayed and prayed, broke the power of it, and I just kept praying. I said, Lord, show me I've broke this, and he showed me I had. And it must have been this, because when the maintenance person saw it, they're like, I don't know what on earth happened. And so anyway, so that's been a fun thing. Only the people are denying it and all this stuff and saying horrible things. Anyway, Airbnb was very nice, but I got such a great revelation from this. And so I'm just going to go ahead and share it first before. I said to the Lord, because I was up all night, because this was like a 7-hour ordeal yesterday. Didn't get to write out the book at all. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm already counting this joy. Thank you that no one got hurt. Thank you, my house is still there. Thank you that you warned me, and I took it seriously and broke the power of it. I wonder how many things we wouldn't go through if we'd be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I think we almost wouldn't go through almost any of it. We'd go through fighting, but it's better to fight before than during or after. Amen. So anyway, so I still couldn't, I was like, okay, Lord, normally whatever goes on in my life, it's something you're teaching me prophetically or revelation. I said, and I don't get this at all. I said, so, but you're not letting me go to sleep, so just show me. And I'd already been reading the book of Romans, and I've been asking the Lord, y'all are going to get a kick out of this. I've been asking the Lord, so what is righteousness? You know, we all use that word, and we know our righteousness is in Christ, right? But even if you look up definitions, you can't really get what they're saying, right? You know, and so I looked up righteousness, and then I looked up self-righteousness, which is actually only used one time, except in the Amplified. The Amplified uses it, and the word self-righteousness is basically anything to do with wickedness. It's anything to do with vanity. It's anything about you. It's self-righteousness. So I'm still not quite understanding it, but I got this awesome revelation, which we're going to do when we do communion all in the Word, in Romans, and it just jumped out at me, where our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. And the Father, this is so cool. So the Father, he'd already began at the beginning of the week really dealing with me with this. He said, our righteousness isn't, when he sees us, he sees his son. Like if we're born again. And the Lord just showed me, he said, you don't understand. You were created in my image and my likeness. And you were created to look like me, to be like me. And he said, but nobody's ever been able to do that. The old covenant shows you can't do that. And he said, so it actually is my spirit, the spirit of the living God, the spirit of Christ in you that I see. He said, when I want to see my image in human beings, he showed me that we were created to have God in us. We were always created to have God in us, to have the Spirit of God in us. And that's what makes us in his image. And the Lord's like, so when I see you in Christ, I actually see my spirit in Christ. I mean, I actually see my spirit when I see you, when you're born again. Do you get, like, he looks right through you and he sees himself. He looks right through your flesh and he sees himself, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I'm like, wow. He said, so that's why you can do nothing to earn, to be righteous. Nothing. Anything you try is self-righteous. He said, nothing. He said, I see, when you accept me, when you accept the work of my son, and by his spirit, and we're going to look at this in scripture, he goes in you, and now Christ in you. And the Bible says in Romans, when I see you, I see my son. And he goes, I literally see my son. And you have his righteousness. Because he's in you, you actually have his righteousness. And I'm thinking, okay, that's pretty cool. And so then I did the whole thing with the house happened right after he started giving me that revelation. That's been a kind of all week. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is this thing you're doing, this house thing? Thank you, it didn't burn down. Thank you, I listened to you. Thank you for your faithfulness. You're an amazing God. And I just started thanking him. So I said, but why? So here's what happened. So the lady who about burned down my house and destroyed the stove decides to say she didn't do it because she doesn't want to pay I bought the cheapest stove I could to replace it. I have learned in a rental house, you do not want to put anything nice, because they can destroy a $1,000 stove the same fast as they can destroy a $600 stove. So I was like, you know, asking the Lord. I was just thanking him that I got up and broke the power of that when he showed me that there was going to, then we had a plan to do a fire. And I can't even tell you how Satan set that up if you want a lot of fun. I was murmuring in that house when I was there, because I was really getting kind of tired of working so hard that week and seeing things that I didn't feel like housekeeping did. I began to murmur and complain. And at one time, I even said, I don't know if I said it to Karen on the phone. Donna says she doesn't remember me saying it. I might have just said it out loud, but I said it to somebody. I said, yeah, I don't see why anybody makes this a 5-star house either, which I just cursed my house. So then, I love God. Boy, when he gives you and shows you and you break it and you repent and you get humble, it's so freeing. So I said, okay, God, this is all last night, middle of the night. I said, okay, God, forgive me for murmuring and complaining and open the door for the enemy to attack my house. And Satan making me so upset with some of the things that were going on and for where I would even say that. So what happened is the lady, when Airbnb, and I just follow procedure. You just submit the pictures. The maintenance person who checked it out, you know, has what he did. And then you basically, your receipt, this is what it costs to replace it, okay? And so, and I understand how sad it would be that I didn't get insurance and I destroyed somebody else's property and now they wanted me to pay for it. I also don't understand why you wouldn't think you should pay for it. And so I'm asking God, I study everything on mercy, and I'm like, you ask God for mercy. You ask him for mercy. This person didn't ask me for mercy. This person was like, you're lying and you're trying to scam us. So she wrote me this really bad review, and I already told Airbnb, what if she gets vindictive and writes me a bad review? Because I have a 5-star building. I said, I work really hard for that. And it's right at booking season. I only got 2 weeks left of the whole summer that's not booked. And I said, and that's the end of August and one couple of days in May. And I said, but I said, I still don't want that. It's the first review they'll see. And they go, well, and I don't care who you call there. They're from some other country. But anyhow, they're nice enough. So I was like, okay, will you promise me that when I put this in, you won't let them give me a bad review and keep it? Because you know that's what, if they act like this isn't real, they say, oh, no problem, no problem. Ha ha, problem, problem. So they wrote the meanest review you've ever seen. And they like trashed me, trashed my house. It was just terrible. But once I heard it, this is the part that gets to the cool part. Once I heard it, it kept bothering me. And all of a sudden, I kept coming, just being attacked with this thing and thinking, you know, maybe my house isn't a 5-star. You know, it isn't. It does have old this and it does have old that. And I'm just going on like, why would I even think it's a 5-star? It started to ruin how much I loved what God had given me with that house, kind of like those who went through my other adventure with the house and the neighbor. But anyhow, so I'm just going, Lord, what are you showing me? I said, because why all of a sudden, I don't want to not love this house. I don't want to not love serving in this house and seeing these guests. Why all of a sudden am I buying into this witchcraft that my house isn't a five, shouldn't be a five-star and all this? Five-star means, you know, good ratings on everything, cleanliness and friendliness and blah, blah, blah. So, and this lady, she trashed everything. And Airbnb said, we're pulling it down. But still, this was after all that was settled, like 2 or 3 in the morning. And the Lord said to me, this is so cool. He said, Cindy, I gave you that house. And that house is up to you what you want it to be like. That house is up to what you think makes it a five-star. And so what you think makes it a five-star is that families can stay there, that it's priced really reasonable when you could have 3 families. You gave them amenities. You gave them bicycles. You gave them, you know, all this fun stuff to do. You have a great location. You tell them, and the Lord began to tell me all the things that I put into the house that made it a five-star to me. And he said, in a way, you're the creator of that house. You decide what makes that house amazing to you. And then I bring the people who have the same vision. And Lord said, that's just exactly what righteousness is. I made you. I made human beings in my image and in my likeness. And I chose what made them 5-star. Whoa. I chose what they should be like and what would bring the vision and how it would happen and what makes them good. And he said, and the enemy came just like this critic who's vindictive is trying to make you say, you're wrong. That's not what 5-star is. The enemy, every time he gets into my people, he mocks and says, you're wrong. This is what you think is not right. What you think isn't 5-star. And I'm like, wow, God, this is awesome. And the Lord's like, but when I put my spirit inside of a person who wants my vision for their house, because we're actually called a house in scripture, he said, then you're 5-star. And then in that vision as the creator, you throw everything out. The Holy Spirit throws everything out that doesn't fit what God says is 5-star. You get what I'm saying? And everything has to bow its knee to that. And because you're made my image and my likeness, you have to agree with the Holy Spirit to be perfected. Isn't that cool? So I'm like, in the middle of the night, I'm like, oh God, this is so cool. I'm like, thank you. I just want it. I said, Lord, do you want me not to have them pay and, you know, and mercy? And he said, truthfully, they really need to learn. And I started praying for them, praying they'd get saved and praying that, that just to be honest, Airbnb will pay it if they won't. So if they act like they're not going to pay, Airbnb has insurance to pay it. But anyway, so I wrote Airbnb at 4 in the morning. I said, look, I really feel bad for these people. I know this was probably an accident. I know they're not fessing up to it. And it was super dangerous what they did. I said, but I'm more concerned about them feeling really bad. And so I'm really praying for them. And they wrote back. They said, don't worry. We'll take care of it. And because I was like, Lord, I just want to do what's right. And the Lord said, no. People don't get mercy who don't want mercy. He said, if she had asked you for mercy, if she had said, oh, I'm so sorry, that was such a stupid thing I did, and I'm so glad your house didn't burn down, I'm so glad my family's safe, and I don't know, we can't pay you the whole amount, but we could pay you a little at a time. You know what? More than likely, I'd say, don't worry about it. The Lord said, that's how it is with me. They have to come and say, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me. Show mercy on me, God. I messed up so bad. I did the wrong thing in the house. I did the wrong thing. But God, would you be merciful? And he would say, yes. But his mercy, and I know it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, but the real mercy of eternal salvation, people have to want. They have to ask him for it. And to get it, they have to see where they fell, came against what he says is right. Isn't that amazing? And I'm thinking, God, only you could take a house that the devil wanted to burn down. Hey, look how prophetic that is. He wants all of our houses burning. I'm talking about our bodies. He wants our temples burning forever, eternally burning. That's what he wants. And then I said to the Lord said, the reason when you get to the book of Revelations and you see what happens at the end, and I release all those judgments, and I release that, I release those judgments, and the enemy attacks and angels go after. He said, that's because they chose what house they want to be. And I'm going to have my bride without spot or blemish to reveal, just like my son did, that you have a choice. That you have a choice. And I'm just telling you, anybody that you know that's struggling with addiction or sin or perversion or anything, you need to tell them to listen to the audible version of the Passion Translation, Romans, really all of Romans, but you, Romans, really 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, over and over and over until it breaks through. It's impossible to sin once you totally recognize who created you, who lives inside you, and who knows how to completely, absolutely destroy every work of evil in you instantly if you agree with the power of God. The same power that we're celebrating on Sunday morning, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, from the dead, is the same exact power inside of every born again believer. And is there anybody here that thinks the power that could raise somebody dead for 3 days up out of the grave cannot stop you from cussing, cannot stop you from smoking, cannot stop you from drinking, cannot stop you from fornicating, cannot stop you from lying, cannot stop you from thinking too highly of yourself? Is there anything even close to impossible with God? And so that's why I said Romans is so good, because it really talks about that. It's really the whole gospel. Romans is what Christ came to do. And for God to give me, isn't he amazing? I just get so amazed. I think it's a prophetic calling to kind of live out biblical stuff in a way that you get it. Because whenever I'm troubled, whenever it's like, okay, this has been settled with Airbnb, you know, I forgive these people, I'm praying for these people, my heart is really right. Why am I still up? Why am I still not able to sleep? Why am I still thinking about that house? And why do I feel sad about that house not being a 5-star? And the Lord's like, I'm glad you asked. And then by the time God and I finish the conversation, oh my God, you just worship him. It's like, he's such a real guy. Can I tell everybody, quit trying to do this in your works? You cannot be righteous in yourself. You cannot be righteous in yourself. You were never created to do it. You were created for the Creator to live inside of you. That's how you are in the image of God. And Jesus Christ looks exactly like God the Father. So if anybody wants to know what God looks like, he looks like a human being, but in a glorified body. And it's not that he's trying to look like us. It's that he made us look like him. Do you know how privileged we are? Do you know how amazing it is that this Jesus that we're here celebrating tonight, I believe people are going to get healed tonight. How can sickness stay in the body of a person where God dwells? How? It's really impossible if you get it. He's not asking you to get rid of it. He's asking you to agree in faith with the power he has to raise you even from the dead, to completely destroy diabetes, to completely destroy arthritis, to completely destroy cancer, to completely destroy every work of darkness. There was not a single work of darkness that was left undone by the time he said, it is finished. And it's time the church rise up and said, you know what? I want to live my life completely yielded to Christ in me. Completely surrendered. No, I don't like the word surrender. Surrender sounds like I lost. Completely, completely desiring to be holy because he is holy. Now see, we aren't holy at first. We're righteous. Because our righteousness is God looks at us and sees his son. Perfect. But the holy part is us working with the Holy Spirit to cast out every evil thing, every wrong thought, every wrong doctrine, every wrong habit, every wrong thing, everything of the flesh. We crucify it in agreement. We crucify the flesh. We said, I don't want this anymore. Holy Spirit, I agree with you. Let's get this thing out of here. Let's get this infirmity. Let's get this lying. Let's get this religious spirit. Let's get this counterfeit mess. Let's get this anger. Let's get all of this out of here. And that's real relationship with Holy Spirit. Real relationship with Holy Spirit is an amazing relationship with a Holy Spirit whose name in and of itself tells you his reason for coming inside of you. He comes in you to make you holy. And he gets in there no matter what you've been through. You could have had the worst abuse of anybody on the planet. You could have had the worst parents. You could have been pushed from place to place. You could have the biggest mess that ever happened that Satan could ever come up with. He could have put you right in the middle of all of it. And Holy Spirit does not even bat an eye that he's not able to make you holy. He actually says when you realize how much you've been forgiven, you're going to love more than other people. You're going to love. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's going to take that spirit of fear, fear from when you've been abused, fear from when you've been lied about, fear from when you fail, fear from when you're trying to do stuff, fear, 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 fear. He's going to take that spirit of fear because he didn't give it to you. And he's going to replace it with love. Whoa, love. Pure, holy love. Love for everybody. And this was really cool too. This was really cool in my house experience. So the Lord says to me, he says, Cindy, and he really got me on this. You know you're not going to go through this stuff with God. Let me just put this right. If you will not be correctable, period, you will not go very far with God. Just so you know. And if you, well, if every time he talks to you and you start asking him something, especially if things are messed, and you don't expect him to really point out some stuff, you don't get this. Get free from condemnation. I get so excited when he shows me stuff in me because I know it's coming out. Oh, I know it's coming out. I know I'm going to be more holy. I know I'm going to have greater encounters with him. I know that he's going to let his power flow through me. I know that he is going to set people free, heal them and deliver them, and nothing can stop Holy Spirit. Whew. Doing what he wants in these bodies that are already righteous. How amazing is God? So he told me, this is the part where he made me repent. He said, you know, Cindy, if somebody else has a beach house and they want it to look like HGTV and they want to put the money into it for all new furniture and they want stainless steel, whatever, you know, they want this and that, and they watch that vacation rental show, and they put the hundreds of thousands of dollars in it to make it like that, and that's their vision, and that's their get to create that, then that is just as good, and I can bless it as what you have and what you want. And he goes, it's same for church. You don't want a fancy building. You really don't want a fancy building. The last thing, you never even thought of asking me for a fancy building. He said, but some people have asked me for a fancy building. Some people want this perfect, nice, fancy building. Who are you? I didn't give that to you. Who are you to create that? Who are you to decide what that should look like? Who are you? I have money to do everything. I can do that. And he's like, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. Forgive me. The same thing. If you want to live a certain way and it's not unbiblical, I'm not touching it. If you want one kid, have one kid. If you want 4,000, well, you can't have that many probably. If you want, take over a lot of orphanages. I don't want to pray for that kind of multiplication. We said we didn't want a mega church, right? I'm just saying, he's like, would my people quit touching each other's freedom to have vision and to believe and to be the creator of what I've given them to create? It's going to be holy, just so you know. It's going to be holy. It's not okay to create Any, is that okay? I can't have in my vision for my house that people can go in there and have wild parties and that would be okay. I can't purposely turn the keys over to a bunch of people who are going to go in there and watch pornography. I may not have a choice if I don't know, but I know how to pray. I know how to see God protect me. I know how to God. So this isn't about if you have wicked ideas of what he's going to want you, your family to look like, or your business to look like, or anything in your life to look like. No, he's not in that. Okay? But that leaves a lot of room for what something could look like. You know what I'm saying? It leaves a lot of room for how God can totally bless the single mom. Once she's really got her heart right with God and understands anything where he wants any repentance, like with every married mom, right? It's all the same. But at that point, don't tell me that God can't give them vision to create their family, to protect their kids, to have the most amazing house on the whole block. Don't tell me that our God's not able. Don't tell me that our God's not able. We have got to take our hands off of each other and fighting each other and judging each other while the whole world is on its way to hell and we're all still sitting around in cute little buildings deciding what's wrong and what's right. And let me tell you, the shaking is coming. Does anybody want to know what God showed me about the bridge that got hit in Baltimore? Okay. Now I've heard, let me say, God can give more, and I agree with what Lance is saying, I agree with what other people are saying, is that I thought it was kind of cool to find out the name of the bridge. But even before I knew the name of the bridge, and prophetically, that is speaking to our nation. The Lord showed me, and I already told Karen this, this ministry has always been called to be a bridge. If you ever see my ring that God gave me, it's made to look like a bridge. And it's a bridge from the prophetic to the apostolic. The church is not in the apostolic, just to give everybody the heads up, but we are crossing into the apostolic. And the Lord told me for years, and he even gave me dream about being in this bridge and being under tunnel and being misunderstood by people, all this stuff. So the Lord showed me when that bridge fell. He said, what hit that bridge? Stuff. A boat full of stuff. A boat full of stuff that people consume. A boat full of stuff that Americans idolize. A boat full of stuff that believers idolize. It was all stuff for the flesh. Right? And the idolatry in the church, is what is and consumerism and all about, you know what I'm talking about. And the Lord's like, that looking to stuff, that looking to be more important than somebody, to have all your needs and have a nice, easy life, that flesh is what has set the church up to be in such a spirit of perversion right now. And the bridge, obviously something was wrong with the way, is anybody a little leery that one boat, even though it's big, can hit a bridge and it go down that fast when you live in Hampton Roads, right? Like that, it should have taken more than one boat, I don't care how big, to hit a bridge before it trembles like that, right? So, I mean, because then like, why would anybody ever go? Anyway, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but love ours on mine. But just, did you see how one hit and the whole thing collapsed in seconds? And thank God they had closed it and so traffic wasn't going over it. And of course we pray for the families of the people working in the dark on the bridge. And so Lord, show me the corruption in the church. I'm not going to let it build this bridge to the apostolic. I'm not letting covering doctrine build the bridge. I'm not letting those who are after this for money and fame. I'm not going to let anyone build this bridge to the apostolic except people who are completely yielded to my spirit, who love me and my word and only want my kingdom. That's the only ones I'm going to let to build this bridge over from the prophetic to the apostolic. And one of the things that's going to destroy and expose, and we're seeing this, what's going to expose those who are trying to build this bridge is the consumerism, the luxurious lifestyle, the desire for things instead of taking care of people, the desire to be wealthy. It doesn't mean, he wants us to be wealthy, but for the kingdom. And he said, and that's what is going to expose that the wrong people are building the church. And look at the stuff we're watching. We're watching people all over the place, things, mega churches, things falling, because he's not going to let them build the apostolic. He's not going to let them build the apostolic. And so Lord's like, get everything out of your heart that cares about stuff. Everything that makes it an idol, they say all kinds of stuff. It also has, you know, on the other side of that, a lot of stuff stopped, but we won't talk about that. So anyway, I'm like, okay, God. And he said, the corruption that the bridge isn't built strong enough to handle storms and it falls quickly is because of the corruption that came in when Freemasonry got in the church. which is a big part of corruption in the government. It's the mixture of government and spirituality that's false. That's in the very foundations of Washington, D.C. Oh, and Brazil, what they just built, we saw it right there. It was amazing. And in this city, so when we're doing an intercession coming up, we're going to do it. This city, they said we couldn't have this building until God had me destroy the power of Freemasonry. Oh, and we had everybody go to a talk and see what it was and renounce it and broke the power of it and our family backgrounds and everything. And then overnight, they gave us like the welcome of all welcomes, didn't they, Thad? Have anything you want. We still had to pay a really nice penny for it, but we got it. After they told us, I'll never give you this church. It was a wild time. But anyhow, so Lord's just telling me, he said, now, when you watch this bridge, when you see this bridge fall, and wasn't it merciful that very few people died? Okay? And isn't it merciful that God, even when he's shaking really, really hard in his mercy, the church and what's falling, it's not going to cause a lot of death. But it's going to cause a lot of inconvenience. It's going to cause a lot of inconvenience. It's going to cause a lot of people not getting their stuff. It's going to cause a lot of people wondering, how do I get to the other side? Guess what? Oh, I just got this. It's not going to be that easy to get from the prophetic to the apostolic. It's not going to be that easy to say you're an apostle. It's not going to be that easy. The bridge that's made it easy has come down. And now it's a long way around to get from one side to the other. And they've got to rebuild everything, even the foundation of this. And we're going to go back to extreme Christianity. Not legalistic, but the book of Acts. By the time God finishes what he's doing, the book of Acts, we're going to look like the book of Acts on steroids. These kids, for real, if they would just really sell out, go after God, even before you finish high school, you could actually be seeing every person just about who comes to you and says, would you pray for me? Would you pray for my mother? I'm really sick. You're going to hear about the kid who's really sick and everybody feels bad for him. And they're going to say, Katie, there's something different about you. Would you please pray for me? You too, Lorelai. Is there something different about you? You too, all of us. And it's Jesus. See, I see him in you. You're righteous. And I know you don't hear that a whole lot. But you're righteous. That's pretty cool. You're righteous. You're even righteous because you already accept Jesus Christ. You're righteous. Think about it. We are the righteousness of Christ. And it all happened because of the cross. It all happened because of what he paid for. That probably really happened yesterday. But because 3 days doesn't make Friday to Sunday morning. But no matter how good your math is. Brian Simmons has broken that down somewhere. And he shows the exact. And that's very cool. He's very, very good with all that. But anyway, let this sink through. In your own works, nothing is done that matters. But when you get the revelation that Jesus Christ on this, well, probably not quite this day, but somewhere like what we're celebrating during the Passover, that he literally was beaten, mocked, made fun of, put on that cross, which is what today is about, at least in tradition, but it's in with this time frame. He was put on that cross, and every single evil, wicked thing called sin. What's sin? Everything that God never intended to be inside of man. Every single thing that was never to be inside of man became one with Jesus on that cross. The only thing you can almost barely get your brain around is someone who's really demon-possessed. If you've ever seen a really demon-possessed person, and don't worry, with the modern day, you'll all see them more than you want. But somebody who's totally, completely filled with wickedness and evil and absolutely is not, you would look at them and say, they're just so sinful. God, you guys. The only sinless person, because he was man, he was the Son of Man, the Son of God, the sinless one had to take on all of our sin. Everything you still do in secret, everything you ever did in the past that Satan holds you ashamed, anything. Jesus Christ, it was like, come on. It's like, you know, it was so ugly, the whole world turned dark. What, for 3 hours, I believe. Was it 3 hours or six? 3 hours. For 3 hours, nobody could see anything. It was pitch black because it was so, if you think watching Jesus carry that cross and all those beaten, and Bible said he didn't even look like a human being. If you think that was bad, God wouldn't even let you look at when every demon, the demons that you still hang on to, whether you think they help you or not, whether they make you seem important or not, whether they think you think you're right because of them, whatever it is, those demons all had their moment to go and completely overtake the Son of God. The holy, holy, holy. Never had he ever in his whole 33 years and all existence before that, ever even had 1 ounce of evil or wickedness or sin in him, ever. And he said, I got to take yours, and I got to take yours, and I got to take yours, and yours, and yours, and yours. I got to take all from past and all from history to come. I got to take on, because God knows how many demons are down there. I got to take them all on me. That's why he was bleeding blood and saying, Father, is there another way around this? He had to let the enemy, that he could have beat him. He could have stopped it. But he couldn't. If he wanted that vision of why he created man, if he wanted us to be righteous, if he wanted us to ever have even the potential of living eternal, of being his family, he had to do it. So forget those goofy songs, an angel couldn't. No, an angel couldn't do it. He was the only one who could do it. He was the absolute only answer to the fall of man. And if we can't celebrate, see, we ought to celebrate big on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we're celebrating. Well, I personally believe when he said it is finished, I believe him. You know, on the cross, he said, Father, you know, said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Do you know what that means? He was literally in hell. Separation from God is hell. He was paying the punishment when he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And then he says, He says, into your hands I commend my spirit. Or no, he says, it is finished. He said, it's finished. He said it was finished. And then he says, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when he said that, he died. But his spirit left him and went and rent the veil and separated. He took us out of religion forever and ever, never again to go by works, never again to go by sacrifices, never again to be about what could we do in our human flesh that could satisfy this God. No need ever again for any more sacrifices. It was finished. And we don't really know for sure. We just know after that he was dead and he was buried. And all we know about after that, I don't think he was tormented anymore, just to let you know. His body didn't see decay, just to let you know. But he had to go there. But if you get into scripture, somewhere in history, he went and beat up the enemy. Somewhere in history, he went down and said, give me back the keys to their souls. You don't have the keys to hell. You don't have the keys anymore. You can't do anything to them anymore unless they want to serve you and they don't want me. Now give them back. And they're like, how did he get here? Oh man, we fell for it. And Jesus beat the tar out of them. And he let all the captives free, all those who had died before he came, all those in paradise. It's like, hey, we're coming out of here. I came to get you. He went and preached in the prisons to all those who had never heard the gospel before. Do y'all want to stay here? Or do you believe I am who I say I am? How many would have been really stupid at that point to have that opportunity to go after God? The same God is faithful today, but he asked the church to do whatever we can to be part of helping people get free on now. You see what I'm saying? So here he is, amazing God. I'm not saying some didn't say they didn't want him. There's always going to be nutty people who say they don't want him. But at least they got to see him, and he preached the gospel to them. That's what it says. It didn't say he's down there suffering, being beaten. He already did that. It says he preached the gospel to the captives. He said he let them free. It said he took all the prisoners of the enemy, everyone, all the demons who just made fun of him, all of them that were down there mocking, all of them. Oh, it had to be such a wonderful thing. I can't wait to see it played out in heaven, because they're going to have something greater than even our most technical things. You know, like we're going to be looking like, God, we're really seeing this, Lord Jesus. And we're going to watch the greatest celebration, triumphant victory, party, celebration that you had ever see. So to me, whatever happens, really, I really believe he probably went and did all that like probably yesterday. And so why I'm saying this right now, he would have been up there kicking butt, having his parade, being victorious. Could you imagine the cheering of the people who waited for some of them thousands of years? The ones who lived and tried and wondered where was God? The ones who were in the bush? Just amazing however all that happened. Amazing. And he had the greatest time, because he paid it all at the cross. His body couldn't see decay. It was held there for him, however all that happened. And then could you imagine when he finished? And he knew it was going to be 3 days. It was prophesied 3 days, old covenant everywhere before the foundations of the earth. He knew what 3 days it was going to be. And then all of a sudden, oh gosh, just see this. This is what would be happening while you guys are getting before you get up and get dressed on this Sunday morning. This is what would have been happening almost 2,000 years ago. All of a sudden, he's up there, and he's taking the keys, and he's preaching to those in captivity, and he's bringing forth. Many are going to come with him. You know that they saw them around town. The graves opened up. It was the first resurrection. And then here he is. How amazing is he? Here he is, and all of a sudden, he hears the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's like, grabs him. brings him through all time. Whether he's I guess he's down in hell. He's bringing him up. However he's doing that. And he puts him back in that body. And that body becomes glorified. And that body comes alive. And all of a sudden he sits up and he is completely back in this glorified body that he will have for eternity, that we're going to get one. And that's why we are the sons and the daughters of God. And he got up and he's laughing because here's, they thought they could hold him in here, right? This is what you got to get, people. When you got to stop being sick, okay? You got to stop thinking you could do this. You got to get the revelation of who lives in you. Because the Bible says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that we celebrate Sunday morning, that same spirit lives inside of you. Isn't that cool? You. Your kids, as soon as they accept Jesus Christ, that same spirit. How many know God's got a big surprise when he builds that bridge to the apostolic? And there's a revelation that nothing of the world matters to me. It's not enough entertainment. I could care less about the entertainment of the world. I could care less about the stuff of the world. All I want is the glory of God. All I want is the King of Kings to get his glory. All I want to die is gain, but to live is Christ. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to write? What do you want me to sing? What do you want me to do? What is it I can do for you, God? What is it I can do for you, God? You should wake up every morning going, what is it I can do for you, God? What is it? Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? Holy Spirit, what do you want to do when I see my family on Resurrection Sunday? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Let's do it. What do you want to do? Oh, gosh, they just canceled our flight. Boo-hoo-hoo. What do you want to do, God? Who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to pray for? Who do we want to heal? What do you want to do? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of every born-again believer. It doesn't say some have more and some have less. The same spirit, the same power. Does anybody kind of get what the sons and the daughters and then the mothers and the fathers of the Lord are going to look like? They're going to look like Jesus looked. And it doesn't matter how young they are. So that's what we're celebrating. I think we could celebrate because I think Good Friday was yesterday. Just based on math. I guess you can go read Romans for yourself. I just gave it to you. So we're going to do something really amazing. We're going to have worship, and we're going to really have worship. And we're going to worship him because he is worthy. We are going to let him crucify every spirit of fear, every spirit of sickness, every spirit of bondage. We're going to let it go. We're not going to play anymore. We're not going to try to talk ourselves. We are going to receive the truth of the cross. We're going to receive the truth of Holy Spirit living in you. The truth that God in you right now has so much power to make brand new earlobes, everything, whatever you need for your hearing, whatever you need for your sight, whatever you need for anything. We are not beggars. We're not beggars. We're the reason. We were the joy set before him when he said yes to the plan to suffer that much on that cross. We were the joy set before him. He wasn't thinking just about that one or this one. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about the relationship he was going to have with you. He was saying about the relationship he's going to have with you. He won't care. He wasn't like, huh, what color are you? What's your IQ? He's like, no. When I got the mind of Christ, it doesn't matter what my IQ is. What's that stuff called? AI. AI is nothing compared to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. We don't have to fear anything. It's just going to be so amazing to have absolutely No fear. How many are ready to say, okay, God, that's me today. That's me today. He's not asking you to make it happen, Margaret. He's asking you to let it happen. Okay, let me say that one for you. Whatever you're believing for, he's not asking you to make it happen. He's asking you to let it happen. He's asking you to let it happen. He's asking you to let it happen now. He's asking you to let it happen. He's asking you to let it happen. He's asking you to let it happen. But you're not going to let it happen. You won't have the real faith to let it happen if it's so you can have the same old, boring, normal life. I don't care if you're rich and got everything going for you. It's still a very boring, normal life. Your faith will rise up when it's like, no, I want to be this new creation in Christ Jesus. Do y'all get in Christ Jesus instead of Christ in you? Christ in you is the hope of glory, okay? Christ in you. Holy Spirit comes in. Christ in me. Oh, now there's hope that I'm going to taste that glory. Now there's hope. There's hope of glory. But you know what? When I'm in Christ, I am a new creation in Christ. I'm in him. Whew. He comes in me when I get saved. He makes me righteous. He makes me righteous. He makes me righteous. It's him the Father sees. The Father goes, good now. That's good. That I see Jesus. I see Jesus in there. You already got Jesus in there, don't you? I see Jesus in there. I see Jesus in there. The Father's like, that's good. These are my sons. These are my daughters. I see Jesus in there. I see the righteousness of my son. Till that happens, there's nothing, everybody. Till that happens, there's nothing. There's nothing real. Away from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. You might have oil, but you're not coming to this feast. You might have all kinds of fancy spiritual stuff you think you're doing. But I've got to see my image in you. When prophetically the Holy Spirit flows with Karen and Talia and however the worship team does it, whoa, we're going to take communion together. I want you to get so much faith from the revelation he just gave us by his Spirit that when you partake of that bread, you literally, literally come in complete agreement for healing of your body. Complete. You don't have to try to think about it. By your Spirit, I got it. I caught it. I know it's true. I know this is what you've done. I know I'm righteous. I know I'm forgiven. I know I want to be holy, and I don't have to be holy before I get healed. I have to be righteous, and I believe that you live in me, Christ. And then when we partake of the blood, I don't even know what order they're going to do it. When we partake of the blood, I want you to break out in so much worship that he died so that you would always, always live. And so that you could actually have your children with you for eternity if you train them up in the way they should go. He promises you that. He promises you that. That isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? How awesome? How awesome that we're going to be in heaven. We'll all have our own mansions and they all get theirs. But however that works, we're going to be able to think, oh, you know what? I just really want to go, like for me, I just want to go hang out with John today, my husband, John. And then there will be. And whatever problems we ever had here, they'll be completely gone. And things there we'll just love. It'll be so fun. And we could just go off and do something for 20 years and nobody will even know because there's no time. And then if it's like, you know what? Come on, Lauren, let's do something. She'll know it. She'll know it. And her and I will have forever. People, get your children saved. Train them up in the things of the Lord above everything else and protect them. Pray for your spouses. Pray for unsaved kids. Make it, when you take this wine, or it's probably not wine, but when you take this juice, I mean, I pray that your heart cries out with so much faith that the devil himself cannot keep your kids from getting saved. It doesn't matter if he lives right smack dab in them. He's gonna come out. I talk loud sometimes, don't I? He's gonna come out. He's gonna come out. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Whatever you, anything you've struggled with, just let it go. Self-righteousness. Nothing I do is better than what somebody else does. Nothing I think is greater than what somebody else thinks. None of it matters. What does God want to do through my life for His glory? Now, if you love this teaching, then you better say you love this teaching. Then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.